The future of legal dissent in Iraq is in doubt after security forces suppressed a protest over government pensions in late August. Police denied a permit for a rally in front of parliament and closed off roads and bridges blocking anti-government activists. Despite the Iraqi crackdown, hundreds of protesters turned out in many cities across Iraq to decry the decline of pension payments distributed by the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch condemned the Iraqi government for refusing to grant protest permits, asserting that the Interior Ministry was afraid that open dissent would be politically embarrassing or inconvenient as opposed to presenting a credible threat of violence. Despite millions of dollars spent by the U.S. on promoting democratic institutions in Iraq, protest leader Ahmad Ibrahim complained, "People are fed up with the situation 10 years after the U.S. invasion. Iraq is moving backward, not forward." In 1956, Soviet soldiers ordered citizens out of their homes in present-day Kononerka, Kazakhstan, before nuclear bomb tests were about to be carried out at a nearby military test site. Village resident Anastasia Kaisaleva recalls that residents who ran towards the radioactive bomb blast either died or became very ill. Since the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1991 and the founding of Kazakhstan and four other Central Asian nations as independent states, Washington has funded efforts to locate secret Soviet test sites and nuclear material. In 2012, scientists searching the former Soviet Sampalatinsk nuclear site recovered 400 pounds of plutonium, enough material to build a dozen nuclear weapons. The Obama White House is now in talks about how to safely remove the plutonium. It's still unknown if all the radioactive material from the Cold War era has been identified and recovered in Kazakhstan. The situation is in some ways similar to that faced by residents living near America's Cold War nuclear test sites in the Nevada desert, where dangerous nuclear burial sites may still lurk undiscovered. In early September, Ford and General Motors announced major increases in car sales and profits, even as the city of Detroit, once the hub of the nation's auto industry, is mired in bankruptcy. Detroit city workers, retirees, and majority African American population now face a new austerity budget and more service cuts. Ironically, downtown Detroit is currently booming with a $650 million sports arena, an entertainment district, new restaurants, and nightclubs, attracting young college-educated residents. The news magazine In These Times reports that Quicken founder Dan Gilbert is buying up downtown real estate, telling the Detroit News that the bankruptcy filing is a short-term problem, even as the Motor City has lost 25% of its population over the last decade and laid off a third of its police force. Hope for Detroit's future may rest with the new wave of young adults that have moved into rundown Detroit neighborhoods, so-called urban pioneers, who are resettling the abandoned urban landscape with upscale stores, urban farms, and manufacturing startups. The optimism about Detroit's future, fueled by a new city plan supported by foundations, largely ignores the pain and suffering of the city's poor, who often are forced to cobble together several part-time jobs to survive. The juxtaposition of blighted neighborhoods against the now gleaming gentrified downtown and midtown areas increasingly evokes descriptions of the new Detroit as a Dickensian two-tiered city. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.